thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is the political columnist for Rhode Island Monthly, Ellen Lieberman. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the Speaker of the Rhode Island House, Nicholas Mattiello. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure to be here.
Debate continues about the impact of Rhode Island's recently passed truck toll law. Supporters say fixing bridges will make the state more attractive to business, while opponents believe that imposing new tolls on big trucks sends an anti-business message. Speaker Mattiello and other lawmakers are expected to consider a separate effort to soften the impact of tolls for Rhode Island companies. So, Speaker, are you committed to passing this softening effort this session, and will it satisfy the concerns of businesses who have legitimate concerns about truck tolls?
Well, I mean, what I can say is that as policymakers, we're concerned about all of our industries. And as trucking's an important industry, we will look at ways to make the trucking industry more competitive in the state of Rhode Island. We look for policies to enhance all businesses. So I don't want to focus in too much on that one business, but we're looking at it right now, and we're looking at ways to make it more competitive. When you talk about the economic climate in the state, the infrastructure bill was very good for our economic climate. One of the pillars, and the most important one nationally, is infrastructure. And when you're dead last in the country, that creates a significant negativity for the Rhode Island economy, and we just made Rhode Island much more competitive nationally.
Ellen, what do you make of the back and forth over whether truck tolls will be good or bad for business in Rhode Island?
Well, I see it as an opportunity, and I'd be interested in the speaker's thoughts on this, an opportunity for lawmakers to draw the connection for taxpayers about what raising revenue means for their lives in a positive way. You know, the message has been for so many decades, you know, taxes and fees are for losers, but we forget all the things that government does for us, and we need to fix our roads.
Absolutely. When you have the worst infrastructure in the country, you're at a disadvantage. Now, you know, the interesting thing is everybody says we all want to fix our roads and bridges, and I agree. So we just put forth the policy that puts the burden of fixing the roads and bridges on the trucks that are causing most of the damage, not all of it, but most of the damage, and 60% of the money is going to come from outside of Rhode Island. To me, that's smart tax policy for Rhode Island taxpayers. And we're going to have for the first time in a long time a very competitive infrastructure so that we can compete with other states that in fact do charge tolls, have a better infrastructure, and therefore are better able to attract companies. Rhode Island for the first time is really going to be in the game of competing with other states that do the same thing we're doing now. This is done up and down the Eastern Seaboard very successfully, and Rhode Island's finally going to be competitive.
Scott, some critics say that Rhode Island will be an outlier because we're going to be the only state that only tolls large commercial trucks, and that if those trucks cause an estimated 70% of the damage, it's unfair to charge them all the tolls. What do you say?
I think this whole thing's overblown. I understand the Republicans. They're looking for a political issue, and they need it. Tolls don't seem to stop anyone from going to Newport, and I drive the Massachusetts Pike, as James would say, from Stockbridge to Boston, and sure enough, there's tolls everywhere, and it doesn't stop anybody from taking the Mass Pike. So I think this is overblown. I do think we should give the Speaker a little bit of credit here, because the Senate last year passed a tolling truck bill that was far more onerous on the industry than the compromise that you worked out, and you look smart now, actually, believe it or not, we'll have to say that. Because you waited and didn't jump just to what the governor and Senate President Paiva Weed wanted to do.
Lawmakers are expected to turn their attention to the budget when they return from their February vacation next week. And we don't expect many controversial issues in the remainder of the legislative session. But one of the ones that is more debated is whether the state should legalize marijuana. As we know, voters in Massachusetts will decide this November whether the Bay State should legalize marijuana and treat it like alcohol. Speaker Mattiello, we hear that you remain open-minded on this subject. Are you committed to bringing the marijuana legalization question to a vote on the House floor?
No, I haven't made that decision as of now. I am committed to be open-minded and to listening to both sides. In the House of Representatives chamber, I have proponents that very, very much want us to pass it, and I have some folks that very much are against the passing of the marijuana bill. So I have both perspectives. I'm right in the middle. I'm going to listen to both issues, and I'm going to do what I do on most issues. I'm going to let the facts determine the outcome of this issue, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be at this time.
Scott, do you think Rhode Island will be in a weaker position if Massachusetts goes ahead with marijuana legalization first?
The fact is, if Massachusetts goes ahead with it, since it borders four states, Rhode Island, it's going to be a domino effect, like state lotteries. They're all going to go along, so Rhode Island ought to be serious about this. Do what Massachusetts has done. Send a delegation of lawmakers to Colorado, see how this is going to work. The other thing I think is foolish is Governor Raimondo's proposed tax on medical marijuana. You're going to tag a plant. Does the state really have enough revenue agents to be running around people's gardens and backyards trying to figure out where the pot plants are? I mean, it's literally ridiculous.
Ellen, what do you make of this back and forth over whether to legalize marijuana or not?
First of all, I do believe that the concerns of the critics in law enforcement and the drug addiction community have. That's got to be part of it. But I also feel that, you know, Colorado offers a very successful model about how to structure government around that. And I think that the state should be looking at that.
Speaker Mattiello, what would you need to convince you to bring marijuana legalization to a vote on the House floor? What information are you looking for that you don't now have?
Well, we'll have public hearings, and I don't know what it's going to come in through that process, but we listen to both sides of the issue, and we're potentially looking at sending a delegation to Colorado. I haven't committed to that, but it's part of our fact-finding mission, and you know, we'll see what happens. We'll also, if it doesn't come to a vote this year, we'll see what happens on the ballot in Massachusetts, and we could be pretty nimble thereafter. If we don't pass it this year, Massachusetts does, legislatively, if we chose to, we still have the option of dealing with it early in the next legislative session. So I'm going to listen to both sides and see what information comes in and then consider it with my entire leadership team and all of my colleagues in the House. It's not a decision I'm going to make unilaterally.
And we're short on time here, but let's get your thoughts on where the legislature, the House in particular, is headed with Governor Raimondo's budget once lawmakers return to action next week.
Believe it or not, I just started focusing on it. I got a briefing from my fiscal staff, and I like all the themes in the budget, but now we have to get into the details of the budget, and there's a lot of work to be done. My fiscal staff's working on it. The finance committee's working on it. And we'll be giving that a lot of attention in the near future. I like the themes. The governor's spot on in how, you know, the direction she's pointing the state. However, the budget is a financial document, and it's going to need a lot of attention.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Ellen Lieberman from Rhode Island Monthly.
Thank you very much.
And House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello.
Thank you, Ian. Pleasure to be here.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.